This is a voice of truth, a voice of God's inerrant, absolute, unbroken, verbally inspired word. This is Pastor Albert Pendarvis, pastor here at Radio Mission, where we bring you this old-time, old-fashioned preaching of God's word. Never water it down, never smooth over, no, never compromise, no. We always go by the word of God. We can't do that, my friend. But this is Pastor Pendarvis, and I'm inviting you to stay tuned now to hear the message by the late pastor, L.R. Shelton Sr. Last week, we brought you the love of God. Today, the wrath of God. Oh, my friend, would you stay tuned? I'll give you the mailing address and some other information at the close of the service. It's the wrath of God.
Now, let's everyone get quiet and let's listen, will you? Listen to God's word as we open this message with Romans 1:18. For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men who hold the truth in unrighteousness. We bring you a study today on the wrath of God. One of the saddest facts we face today is that multitudes who call themselves Christians have done their best to take the sword of justice and the sword of judgment out of the hands of a sovereign God. So many preachers of today, if they preach on the wrath of God, they do it in an apologetic way. They will preface their message with statements that leave the impression, I want to apologize to you today for bringing a message on the wrath of God. So many preachers pat themselves on the back and glory in the fact that they preach only the love text of the Bible and never on judgment. I face this fact here in our hometown, New Orleans. When a person comes under Holy Spirit conviction and gets all stirred up about his soul's welfare, some preacher or Bible teacher will get hold of him and try to comfort him in this manner. Now he says, you listen, you come on down to our church. We preach on the great love text of the Bible. We don't preach on hell and damnation and judgment that keeps a person stirred up. We tell you how God loves you. Now, friend, let me say frankly, such an individual is an enemy to the souls of men. That's right. The greatest friend you have, listen now, get this truth. The greatest friend you have is the preacher or teacher who will be true to your soul and present the claims of God, who is not only a God of love, but also a God of wrath. So many today, in their carnal profession, harbor the delusion that God's wrath is not consistent with His goodness, and thereby seek to banish it from their thoughts, but you can't. On the other hand, many turn away from the Bible saying about God's wrath because they cannot in that darkened, depraved mind reconcile His wrath with His love. They think that to speak of God as a God of wrath would put a blotch on His divine character. They think they have to uphold the love of God by denying the wrath of God, not knowing that they both go together. You deny the wrath of God, you deny the love of God. You cannot deny one without the other. Now to the scripture, listen to Deuteronomy 32:39. See now that I, even I, am He, and there is no God with me. I kill, I make alive. I wound, and I heal. Neither is there any that can deliver out of my hand. For I lift up my hand to heaven and say, I live forever. If I whip my glittering sword and my hand take hold on judgment, I will render vengeance to mine enemies and will reward them that hate me. Did you notice that God said, I will whet my glittering sword? The God of the Bible is a God of wrath and a God of vengeance. Now turn with me to Psalm 7:11. Listen, God judgeth the righteous, and God is angry with the wicked every day. If he turn not, he will whet his sword. He hath bent his bow and made it ready. He hath also prepared for him the instruments of death. He ordaineth his arrows against the persecutors. We see here that God is angry with the wicked every day. And if he turn not, he will whet his sword. God has a sword, and it is ready for execution against the enemies of God. Brother, you cannot take the sword of judgment out of the hands of Jehovah God. Don't try it. If you will take your concordance and Bible and study it closely, you'll find that there are more scriptures in the Bible which set forth the anger and fury and wrath of God than there are that set forth his love and tenderness. Now, why is that so? It's because God is holy. God hates sin. And because he hates sin, his anger burns against the sinner who will not repent and take his place as a lost sinner at the feet of God. I don't care how much you're wrapped up in the veneer of religion. It is either turn or burn. God will not compromise with any sinner, not even with you. God hates sin, and he will punish sin. It's a fearful thing to fall into the hands of the living God. Again, he says, vengeance belongeth unto me, and I will repay. Many say God loves the sinner, but he hates his sins. You cannot separate the sinner and his sins unless the sinner repents. That's right. That's right. We have had so little preaching against sin and the judgment of God upon sin in this generation until sin today has become a virtue and men no longer tremble under the fearfulness and the awfulness of the judgment of God against sin. And everywhere you turn, you'll find you hear folks say, oh, God's such a loving God. God is such a good God. He wouldn't punish sin in me. Well, brother, you've got another thought coming unless you repent and turn to him at the feet of Christ, trusting him as your substitute. You'll find out how much God hates sin. The devils believe and tremble, but men do not believe in the severity and judgment of God. Therefore, they do not tremble. Very few tremble under the average preaching today. They do. That's right. The concept of the average person today in the pulpit and the pew of the God of the Bible is that he's a lowly Nazarene, some little effeminate sissy being that wouldn't harm a flea. No doubt many of you who are sitting before your radios now are saying, well, I believe I'm going to be saved. God is a God of mercy, and he wouldn't send me to hell. That shows you have never been awakened to your lost condition and been brought to see the wrath of God upon your sin and in your own life or the lives of others. Now, my friend, that's so. I've had mothers tell me, oh, Brother Shelton, my boy's a wonderful boy. He's a great boy. He's a good boy. I know he's saved and will go to heaven when he dies. The only thing that is wrong with him is that he may take a drink once in a while and so on, never realizing that he is a child of Satan, a child of wrath, under the wrath of a sin-avenging God, in the hands of an angry God, and that he has never repented. They cannot conceive of the God of the Bible sending their boy to hell. Why? The only God they know is a God of their own imagination or their own creation out of their own old depraved nature. And God says, you think that I'm like you are. The wrath of God is as much a divine perfection as his faithfulness, mercy, or power. You do not have to try to protect or uphold the love of God or the mercy of God by saying that he is not a God of wrath. There is no blemish about the character of the God of the Bible. And he has to be a God of wrath if he's to be a God of love. If God is a holy God, and he is, he has to be a God of vengeance and a God of judgment. Let me tell you something, friend. The individual who is indifferent towards sin, or who covers up sin, or makes light of sin, is a moral leper. How could God be holy and righteous if he's a God of love only and not a God of wrath as well? He is a God of holiness, and he must and does hate sin. Let me face you with this proposition. How can a person, get it now, listen, how can a person delight only in that which is pure and holy, and at the same time not loathe and hate that which is impure and vile? If you love righteousness, you must hate sin. So the very nature of God makes hell a reality. You folks who go around teaching and preaching, there's no hell. You've never known anything about the God of the Bible. You've never known anything about the holiness of God. And you've never come face to face with the wrath of God. The holiness of God, listen now, get it? The holiness of God makes heaven a reality. The mercy of God fills heaven with her inhabitants. The wrath of God makes hell a reality. And the judgment of God fills hell with her inhabitants. Did you get that statement? Now let's face this question. What do we mean by the wrath of God? The wrath of God means God's eternal detestation of all unrighteousness, whether it is found in you or someone else. The wrath of God means God's displeasure and indignation of divine equity against evil. The wrath of God is the holiness of God stirred into activity against sin. The holiness of God means that God literally hates sin and will punish sin and everyone who will not repent. The wrath of God is the moving cause of that just sentence which he passes upon every evildoer or Christ rejecter. Now, why does God hate sin? Why is God angry with sin? It is because sin, get it now, listen, it is because sin is rebelling against his authority. As we've said over and again, man will accept God anywhere except on the throne. And sin is man revolting against the authority of a sovereign God. The Bible says, every knee shall bow, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. Now, brother, you'll do that or go to hell. One day, a Philippian jailer fell down at the feet of Paul and Silas, God's two appointed missionaries, and said, "Sirs, what must I do to be saved?" Now listen to the answer. They said, "Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and thou shalt be saved." Did you notice those words? Lord Jesus Christ. Standing in the forefront is the word Lord, which speaks of God on the throne as sovereign, eternal sovereign. And every sinner, whoever gets saved, bows his knees unto the lordship or the sovereignty of Jehovah Jesus. You'll do it or go to hell. Salvation is not trotting down the aisles, making a decision for Christ, giving the preacher your hand. That's an abomination in the sight of God. To call that salvation is a monstrosity. Salvation is not giving Jesus your old, wicked, hellish, diabolical heart. He doesn't want it. Salvation isn't crying a few crocodile tears and thinking that you can placate God. Every sinner who gets saved comes to realize that God is a God of judgment. He is arrested by God, brought into the courtroom of God. He faces the judgment of God upon him. He comes to know and feel and see that God is a God of severity, a God of justice, a God of judgment. He comes to see that the wrath of God is upon him. He comes to see that he's a sinner, and that the soul that sinneth, it shall die. He comes to see and to know that he's under the sentence of death. There in the courtroom of God, he comes face to face with the awfulness of the wrath of a sin-avenging God upon him. And he faces that fact that he's in the hands of an angry God. And as he faces it, it is then and then only he comes to feel and to know the mercy of God in Christ, dying for sinners. Then when God pardons a sinner like that, he never gets over it. Never does. The other night at Baton Rouge, a young woman said to me, "Pastor, I understand now why you constantly praise the Lord and you never get over it." Said, "Since the Lord saved me the other Monday," said, I can't get over God saving a wretch like me. I can't get over God snatching me out from under his wrath and putting me under his mercy. All your little sentimental stuff that you call salvation comes nowhere being salvation. And thousands of you church members are going on thinking you're saved, hoping you're saved, and yet you have never been brought into the courtroom of God's justice and see your condemnation under the wrath of God. It's appalling. Yes, it is. Let me say again, the wrath of God is one of his perfections. You can't get away from it. In Romans 1:18, we find these words, "For the wrath of God is revealed from heaven." It was first revealed when Jehovah Jesus pronounced the curse upon Adam and Eve and upon the earth and drove man out of his earthly paradise. Again, the wrath of God was revealed from heaven when God sent the deluge and destroyed the world with water. The wrath of God was revealed again when he destroyed the cities of the plains, Sodom and Gomorrah, by raining brimstone and fire out of heaven. The wrath of God is revealed and proclaimed in the curse of the law upon every transgression. The wrath of God is revealed in the sacrifice when he said, "Without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin." The same Bible that proclaims the glory and holiness of God sets forth his wrath against sin and the enemy of sin. Now that's so, my friend. Listen, then the wrath of God was revealed on Golgotha's hill in the suffering and death of our Lord as a substitute for the sinner. It was there that God poured out his wrath upon his own son because he was dying in the sinner's place. If you want to know the wrath of God as well as the love of God, go to Golgotha's hill the morning our Lord was crucified and see Christ dying in the sinner's place and hear him cry, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Sinner, there God poured out his wrath upon his own son because he became sin for us, and you cannot separate the sin from the sinner, and so the wrath fell upon him. And the wrath of God will fall upon you. But listen, sinner, there's mercy. There's the place of mercy. There's the place of pardon. There's the place of forgiveness. Take your place at the feet of God as a lost, condemned sinner, one who deserves to go to hell. Tell God you deserve to go to hell. And God will spare you because he punished his son in your stead. And he cannot collect a sin debt twice. First from our surety, and then from us. He can't do it. Oh, I wish you could see that this morning. My friends, I wish you really knew the love of God, but you can't know the love of God till you know the wrath of God. Now let's look again at the wrath of God as a divine perfection. In Psalms 95:11, we find these words, "Under whom I swear in my wrath." Did you get that? "Under whom I swear in my wrath." In God's Word, we find two occasions that God swears. First, Genesis 22:16, where he says, "By myself have I sworn, saith the Lord, for because thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thine son, thine only son, that in blessing I will bless thee." Here he swears in making a promise in Deuteronomy 1:34, "And the Lord heard the voice of your words, and was wroth, and swear, saying, surely there shall not one of these men of this evil generation see the good land which I swear to give unto your fathers." Here he swears in his wrath. He swears in threatening denouncement. In the first one, he swore in his mercy to his children. In the second place, to terrify the wicked. So you see, my friend, you cannot separate wrath from the God of the Bible. Once God swears by His holiness, Psalms 89:35, and then Psalms 95:11, He swears by His wrath. Therefore we see that Jehovah God puts my holiness and my wrath on the same equal basis. You can no more separate the wrath of God from Him than you can separate His holiness from Him. It is my holiness and my wrath that He swears by one as much as by the other. That may be an eye-opener to you, but that's so. If you'll turn to Colossians 2:9, you'll find these words: In Him, Christ, dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily. In other words, all the divine perfections are found in Christ. Therefore, we read in Revelation 6:16, the wrath of the Lamb. The wrath of the Lamb. Oh, I thought Jesus loved. And we have taught our children Jesus loves little children. Never taught them that God, that Jesus hates the sins. Listen, Christ was all the embodiment of the love of God. Christ is also the embodiment of the wrath of God. The individual who does not know the wrath of Christ does not know the love of Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ is not a little sissy, lowly Nazarene. He is God of very God. He is man of very man. He's the God-man. Though He never met a harlot who repented, but He cleansed her, yet at the same time He cried out, Woe unto you scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites! Though He never met a leper who came to Him saying, Lord, if Thou wilt, Thou canst make me clean. But He cleansed him. Yet He hurled anathema after anathema upon those who rejected Him. Though on the one hand He said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Yet on the other hand He said, Except ye repent, ye shall all likewise perish. Now that's the character of our blessed Lord. That's the Christ I know. Do you know that Christ? Let's notice this fact in God's divine character in regard to the wrath of God. When we come to know the wrath of God against sin, then we come to detest sin. Our hatred of sin is in proportion to our understanding of the wrath of God and God's hatred and abhorrence of sin. We are so prone to regard sin lightly or make excuse for it, to gloss over it and compromise with it. But as we come to understand and see and feel and know the wrath of God on sin, just in that proportion we come to hate sin and repent of it and turn away from it. The reason sinners never cry out against sin today and mourn over it and bewail their sinful, wretched, wicked hearts is because they've never experienced or felt the keen edge of the sword of judgment and the sword of wrath of a sin-avenging God in their depraved hearts. Now there's our trouble today. Never come to see it. You've never come to feel it. Let me say right here, it is my deepest conviction, and this conviction is growing, that the thing most needed today is a proclamation of those great Bible truths which are the least acceptable to the unsaved religionist of today. First, we need a setting forth of the character of God. That is His absolute sovereignty, His holiness, His inflexible justice, and His unchanging veracity. Then second, we need to set forth what the Bible says about the condition of the natural man. That is his total depravity, his spiritual deadness, his absolute hostility to God. That man may know he is condemned already, and that the wrath of a sin-hating God abideth upon him moment by moment. That's what we need. In the third place, we need to set forth the alarming danger that sinners are in. Sinner, you're in danger. Wake up. We need to show the sinner his awful doom which awaits him, the judgment he's facing, the hell toward which he is traveling, and that he may suffer the due reward of his sins. Then we need in the fourth place to set forth the nature of that punishment that awaits the lost, the awfulness of it, the hopelessness of it, the never-endingness of it. Do you realize it? No, sinners mock at sin today. You laugh at sin. Brother, these are the truths that unsaved preachers hate, that unsaved church members despise, and unsaved Bible teachers laugh at and try to explain away. But these are the truths which, when set forth under the power of the Holy Spirit, indict men of thy true condition before God and produce Holy Spirit conviction and bring sinners to repentance. You just do not hear that type of preaching today from the average pulpit, do you? Sinners are not alarmed about their condition. Saints so-called have no compassion for the lost. Our churches are loud to sleep, and sinners are going to hell without warning. And we preachers are to blame for the condition of our churches today. That's right. In the second place, as we meditate and think upon the wrath of God, a true fear of God is produced in our souls. Let us have grace whereby we may serve God acceptably with reverence and godly fear, for our God is a consuming fire. Brother, we cannot serve God acceptably unless there is a due reverence for His awful majesty and a godly fear in our hearts for Him and for His righteous anger. Listen, our God is a consuming fire. He is a God of wrath as well as a God of love. And we need to know that great fact. And as it is impressed upon our hearts, we come to fear Him as well as to love Him.
This brings to the close another Voice of Truth broadcast, and the message you heard was the wrath of God. Oh, my friend, it's hard for even to call a title of this message, the wrath of God. Did you know the Scripture says the Lord is angry with you every day if you're not saved? We saw the love of God last week, but it's the wrath of God. My friend, we have gotten away from what the Scripture says. The Lord is angry with the wicked every day. The Lord says, the Bible says, the soul that sinneth, it shall die. And after that, the judgment. My friend, I'm attempting by the grace of God with these messages and with the other services we have here to warn you to flee from the wrath of God. The wrath of God. The God is not some little tin soldier standing on the sideline of time waiting and hoping someone to trust Jesus. No, my friend, no. But this is the Old Trailblazer. The message you heard was the wrath of God, and it's number 417. We can send it to you in booklet form, free and postpaid, simply by your calling us, writing us, emailing. My email address is pastor@radiomissions.org, and my phone number here is area code 225-664-8658. And we'll be back next week at the same time with another message. I'd like to hear from you. Help us with the broadcast if you're a little bit if you can. Go out there and dig up that old coffee can under that old fig tree in the backyard and send me $100. A man did that one day. Sent me a Folgers coffee can with $20 in it. And he said, Trailblazer, that's all I had was $20. But it's just as good as $100, isn't it? May the Lord bless you. Goodbye.